Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The liturgy is sometimes a stumbling block for visitors. Truth be told, the liturgy is sometimes a stumbling block for all of us. In a culture that pretty much celebrates irreverence, the liturgy makes a steep demand. It's always easier to be casual, but the liturgy insists that we are invoking the name of the living God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. That sets the tone. The very first words of the liturgy say, it's not about the pastor's dynamic personality, or lack thereof, as may be the case. It's not about the congregation's entertainment. It's not even about your own personal spiritual journey. It's about invoking the name of the living God so that he might have mercy on a congregation of sinners that gather here in this place. The liturgy is a stumbling block for people, not because they don't get it, but precisely because they do. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, the pastor says. But then again, it isn't really the pastor. He is simply the mouthpiece for God's living word. Having called upon God Almighty, invoking his holy name, we now stand before him with only two options. You can say you have no sins and deceive yourself, or you can confess. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. Only those two options. Scripture itself gives you only those two options. Same with the liturgy. The liturgy demands that we take the sin in our lives and the scandala in our lives with the utmost seriousness. And so does Jesus. In our gospel today, he says, temptations to sin, scandala, are sure to come. But woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. Sin is serious business. Gathered here today, there are those who have sinned and those who have been sinned against. There are those who have caused scandal, and there are those who have been scandalized. Indeed, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and many, if not most, come into this sanctuary with something like millstones around their necks, secretly, silently pulling them into the depths. So the pastor, called by God through the church, speaks the absolution. The forgiveness he speaks is God's forgiveness. The words he speaks are God's words. See John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. Because it is God's forgiveness, God's word, the absolution has the power to loose. In the stead, that means sent by the Lord Jesus. And by the command of my Lord Jesus, I forgive you your sin. God's words, God's forgiveness, spoken to you that your sins might be forgiven. By his word and its power, the millstones are loosed. The ropes around your neck are severed and loosed. God himself plunges into the depths to bring you up out of those waters with him, breath, life, and resurrection. The liturgy is a stumbling block to the proud, but the humble are already on their knees. And confession and absolution are a stumbling block, not because people don't get it, but precisely because they do. Should we then, for the sake of the proud, throw out the liturgy, toss the confession and absolution? Clearly not. And Jesus himself says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a single day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him, our Lord says in our gospel today. And think on this. If this is the mercy that God asks of us, how much greater is his mercy? Forgiving someone more than once can be hard. Imagine forgiving someone for the same thing 7 times in one day. That's hard. And that's why the apostles immediately say to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. If you had faith like a seed, Jesus says, you could uproot a tree and plant it in the ocean just by speaking. So too, if you have even the smallest faith, you can uproot your brother from his sins and plant his roots in the sea of living water just by speaking. Uproot him from his sins with 3 words, I forgive you. Plant his roots in living waters with 3 words, remember your baptism. So the pastor stands next to the baptismal font. Be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And he speaks God's forgiveness to you again. Plants your roots back into the baptismal font, the endless ocean of God's grace. The liturgy is a stumbling block to those who will not forgive, especially if there are those who will not forgive one another in the same congregation. Again, it is a stumbling block not because people don't get the liturgy, but because they do get it. If God's forgiveness is spoken to you in holy absolution, then it's also spoken to that guy in the other pew or in the other service. And if you can't come to grips with this wonderful grace, then soon enough you'll leave, stumbling right out of the church, because the same grace of God that is for you is also his grace for your enemy. It's level ground at the font, at the cross. It's common ground. There is no room for me and Jesus. Scripture says that if you do not love your brother, then neither do you really love God. But if our Lord instructs us, poor sinners that we are, to forgive 7 times in one day, even 7 times 70, then how much greater is his mercy for us? Some of you carry heavy burdens, millstones, thoughts, words, deeds, addictions. Hear what the Lord himself is saying to you. His forgiveness for you is endless. 7 times a day. 7 times 70. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures because it has been purchased and won for you by the very blood of his Son. His Son did not die in vain, but died for you. When the pastor speaks the absolution in our sanctuary, behind him and visually right over his head is the crucifix. That crucifix reminds us of the source of God's endless mercy. The crucifix, too, can be a stumbling block for people, not because they don't get it, but precisely because they do get it. The cross is a stumbling block because it is a stumbling block to be reminded of what Jesus suffered for our sins. The cross is what you deserve, what I deserve. He takes our sins upon himself and suffers in our place, wins for us those precious words of absolution that the pastor speaks. It is Jesus' blood that cries out to God for his mercy upon us, and it is Jesus' blood that cries out through the pastor's lips, "It is finished. Your sins are forgiven." 7 times a day, even 7 times 70, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And this too, oddly enough, is a stumbling block for people, because they don't think they need that much grace. Nor do they want Christ crucified to be the center of their lives, let alone the center of their weekly worship. Confession and absolution offends for the same reason the sermon offends. Both are words of the cross. If the cross offends with the dead body of Jesus, the atonement, his blood shed for our sins, then the absolution and the sermon must, for the very same reasons, offend. The liturgy is the great leveler. God shows no favoritism, not even if you have been a more faithful servant than others, not even if you have sacrificed more than others. Jesus tells it is this way in our gospel. When a servant comes in from the field, does a master prepare supper for the servant? Hardly. And when the servant has worked all day for the master and has made dinner for the master, will the master even say thank you? Hardly. So you also, when you have done all that God has commanded you, say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty." Jesus puts us in our place. We are unworthy servants, each one of us and all of us together. But with these same words, Jesus puts us in our place at his table. When we come in from our vocations to this, the master's house, we find that the Lord Jesus is not like other masters. In fact, he is the exact opposite. This master does indeed invite you, his unworthy servants, in. Not to serve him. He came not to be served, but to serve. And so he prepares a table for you. The Lord prepares his supper for you. In fact, the only ones worthy to eat this supper are those who know themselves to be unworthy, and those who think themselves worthy are not. The Lord bids his unworthy servants to come and eat and drink. He bids you to eat and drink, not just any meal, but as he himself says, his very body and blood given and shed for you for your forgiveness. My friends, the liturgy is a stumbling block. Confession and absolution, this sermon, and the Lord's Supper itself are all stumbling blocks. Not because people don't get it, but precisely because they do. There is stumbling when the pastor speaks the absolution that the Lord has commanded him to speak. There is stumbling when the pastor's sermon points to Christ crucified as the cost for your sins, as the forgiveness for your sins. There is stumbling when the master himself invites the unworthy to be his guests and says plainly that this bread is his body, and this wine is his blood. The liturgy of word and sacrament causes stumbling precisely because it shows us we are so very unworthy and our Lord Jesus is so very good. May our prayer be that we do stumble before the living God and land before him right on our knees, ready to receive the gifts of his mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.